Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Today's show, dating after divorce, using a vibrator during oral, and how not to be that guy when approaching a woman. Thanks for listening. If you've listened to the show the last couple months, you've probably heard me talk about a unique product called the Womanizer. A while back, the owners of the company asked if they could send me one to test out, which, of course, if you know me, I agreed to it. And I own and review a lot of toys, and I was fairly confident I've tried every category of product around. But I was wrong. The Womanizer was designed in Germany, and unlike anything else on the market, it indirectly stimulates the clitoris using suction. It's kind of like a sexy ear thermometer. It has a silicone cylinder on the face that you place over your clitoris, kind of like how a partner might use their mouth. And while it's on, you can vary the suction and move it around to create an amazingly intense experience. In fact, most women in their focus group achieved orgasm in 1 minute. That's right, a 60-second orgasm. You can just knock it out if you want. So, okay, back to me. I tried the Womanizer, and they weren't kidding. It's amazing. The suction is adjustable, and you can position it to create so many different sensations. The Womanizer is really in a category of its own, and I suggest you check it out for yourself. Go to sexwithemily.com and click on the Womanizer banner for more information. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. You can check out my podcast. You should just subscribe. It's so easy. 2 shows a week. Then you never have to worry about it again. There they are. They just show up wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, Anderson.
Hey.
How are you?
Is this working?
Is it working? Are you working? Are you here?
Yeah, there it is.
What's going on?
Looking good. Hey, how are you?
I'm great.
Welcome back. I missed you.
I missed you too.
Yeah.
It was amazing to be in San Francisco.
You're up in the, were you in the Castro District? Where were you?
I was all over.
Shooting a TV show.
I shot a TV show.
They don't shoot TV shows
they
outside
do.
Of
it
LA.
Was the one TV show that they shoot in San Francisco, and they invited me to be on it.
What's it called? Is it called Hey?
Hey. It's called Hey, What's Up?
What's it called?
It's called Drinking with Benefits.
Ooh.
And it's a new show. And it was one of the pilot episodes. They're doing 8 episodes. And the whole premise is that you come, they have a celebrity bartender.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I remember hearing about this.
And you come on with a cause that you support, and then you raise money for that charity. And then, he taught me how to bartend.
Who was the celebrity bartender?
Me? I was a celebrity bartender.
Oh, you were.
That's why I laughed when I said that.
After
I said celebrity bartender, I paused.
Right.
Because I knew you would make that joke, yeah. And you waited too long.
Did you know?
Dude, yes, because I don't think of myself as a celebrity. So hey, for man, me saying anything, that.
When Mike Catherwood is on Dancing with the Stars and he's the star, I'm like, oh, you can dance really good? You're going to be like one of the teachers? He's like, no, I'm right. the star. I'm like, what kind of a world are we living in?
Right, exactly. Dude, I get it. I mean, I don't think of myself. No, I do not think
you
of myself.
You don't. You don't have that air at all.
I really don't. So that's why I think it's for me. So my friends were even like, I'm like, come to this bar because it's an open party after. So they opened it up to everyone. It was like open to the city, open to my friends. And I'm like, well, I'm doing this bartending. Like, what do you mean? I'm like, okay, it's celebrity. But like, I'm uncomfortable saying it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's for a charity, and I did Pets in Need. Because as I told you, I'm adopting a dog, and Pepe is probably not my dog.
No.
No. He's awesome, but it turns out that he needs a little more time there in the shelter, but I looked at some other dogs.
Okay.
So the point is, my friend runs Pets in Need, funny enough. It's the only no-kill shelter.
You just said a bunch of words.
Pets in Need.
Your friend Ron.
My best friend Charlotte.
Okay.
She's the vet. She runs the whole organization. It's a no-kill shelter, as you'd appreciate.
I like that. However, I get my dogs from kill shelters. Because I know that they're going to be killed.
Oh, yeah, that's even better.
You know what I mean?
God, you're right. I should do that instead.
Yeah. It's tough, though, because it's essentially you're allowing a bunch to go to the death camps. You know what I mean? Like, you can only pick one, probably. And, like, every dog you don't pick, you're going to die.
But they take the animals from the shelters that are going to kill them.
Yeah. The one you went to, yes.
Yeah, so they curate. No, they really
I cut out
ducks.
The middle, man. I just grab my dog.
That's not a bad idea. Maybe I'll do it. To think that Stanley almost, like, I can't even say it.
Yeah, Stanley was scheduled to be killed the morning after I picked him up. And I didn't know that until after I signed the paper. So it wasn't like they were trying to sell me on him. They were just like, oh, look at this. He was scheduled for tomorrow morning, 9 a.m.
Yeah, this kills me. So, yeah, kills I mean, Stanley. I can't believe that 23 million households a year acquire an animal and like 4 to 6 million die. So, like, don't acquire an
Wait
animal.
Wait a minute. Wait, what?
That 20, they buy dogs or they buy cats.
Right.
23 million households.
Mills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From a store.
I got four animals in my house. Three dogs,
and
one cat.
Fine.
And
they're
all
great.
Of them were rescued from, well, one was bought from a store.
Oh.
His name is also Pepe. But he went to like a very troubled woman. And he was rescued from that woman.
Well, so. That makes sense. Okay, you know what? That's, so rescue is rescue is rescue. So that was fun.
This is not sexy talk, though.
Well, here's some sexy talk.
Unless
That is
inappropriate.
You and Mike love talking. Mike Catherwood
well,
loved
it's true.
Peanut
I walked in on Mike.
Well, no
when
one
I
does
was
that.
In, when I was in
peanut
junior
butter
high,
in vagina. Don't put anything in your vagina, but lube in a penis.
When I was
and
in
dildo.
Junior high, my girlfriend at the time, her name was Jenny. She had a cousin who was a little bit off. She was very pretty, but she was a little bit off. And they had a Great Dane. And her cousin was over visiting Jenny's family. And I walked into the bathroom, and the Great Dane was going down on the cousin.
I was going to say, no, this is an urban legend.
I saw it happening. And it was very upsetting. And I walked out. And I didn't say a word to anyone. I said a word to no one, not even Jenny.
Oh, my God. How old were you?
13, 14.
Yeah, that isn't really sexy either, though, to be honest.
It kind of worked out for me because I had an issue with like the hot cousin coming over all the time. Because I thought Jenny was hot, and she was like my first real girlfriend. But the hot cousin was distractingly hot, and she instantly became way less hot.
Right.
Okay, so
that's good. I'm glad it didn't turn you on, and you didn't start getting like a dog
fetish.
Oh, that'd
be weird.
That'd be really weird. Yeah, that's hilarious. No, I... No peanut butter. But, okay, so then they interview me about, like, why the shelter, I care for the shelter. And then the guy, Mark DeVito, he's awesome. He owns a bunch of bars in San Francisco. And we had a dog. I mean, we made the salty dog, mm-hmm. the name of the drink. It was, like, Pepe Goes to Poland or something. And he taught me how to, have you ever bartended?
No.
I was a cocktail waitress.
Right.
Bartend.
I've dated a lot of bartenders, never bartended.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that like?
It's tough.
Don't you think they're sleeping with everyone?
It goes like...
It's kind of like strippers and
prostitute, strippers, bartenders, right. Hairdressers. That's kind of the order.
Well, I don't know. I just mean the people who work late
masseuses.
In the night... They what?
Masseuses
That's
as well.
Who you always dated?
Well, that's like the trouble categories. Like, you don't want to obviously date a prostitute. Stripper is right below that. And then it goes bartender. And then it goes hairdresser or masseuses.
Wait, what's wrong with hairdresser and bartender? What's wrong with hairdresser? And all my friends date masseuses.
Yeah,
in San Francisco, my guy friends.
A lot of hairdressers, no offense to anyone listening, but a lot of them like to, you know, play the field and, you know, they have...
Hey, I hear
I've
you.
Never
you're
had a hairdresser who I've never banged. Every single hairdresser I've ever had, except for like when
Mine
I go to Shortcut.
Mine are all gay, really.
Supercuts?
I guess you're a dude. Yeah, right. That's... No, you wouldn't. You want the classier ones.
Sometimes if I'm in a pinch.
You want the classier, non-desirable hairstylist,
right.
Not the ones that...
I still go back to some of my hairstylists
you
know, from when I was a kid. And yeah, they're old bang flames.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I know people, guys always sleep with their like people who work
hairstylists.
With them. Yeah. And I always joke with my friend, I'm like, which woman from the service industry are you banging now? He's like a successful internet.
Right.
And he's always like, a masseuse or like a
masseuse.
Hairdresser. Right.
The best is a bartender.
Or
slash
yoga teacher.
Masseuse.
What yoga teacher?
They make you do work, though. Come on, let's get on a little ball and do some yoga. No,
but I feel like all my guy friends are getting masseuses. Okay, so anyway.
Bartender who makes you a drink and then gives you a massage.
But right. I feel like the same way for guys. Like, guys who work in bars, too, I always think, I mean, in college, I was a cocktail waitress. That's fine, the bartenders. But they're just, they're late. They're getting numbers.
They're there to get
laid. No judgment. Well, they're there to get laid. I mean, they have to get, there's a lot of opportunity.
Can I tell you something? Guys in college, anywhere that they are, or that they're there to get laid.
I slept with the bartender. My boyfriend was the bartender. I hear you.
No matter
where they are. I was a cocktail waitress. Not to get laid, but I did get laid because of that. Uh-huh. What'd you say? In college, yeah.
Yeah.
They exist to get laid.
You see that they're there to get laid. Any guy in college, no matter where. He could be at the DMV. It could be to get laid.
Okay, I don't mean they're there to get laid. Okay, I should say that wrong. But in college, yes. When you work in that industry, you can't help but get laid. Mm-hmm. Or have opportunities.
It was painful. When I'd say, goodbye, honey, see you later, and she'd go off to her job, I'd know that, you know, I'd see her low-cut shirt and like...
Gotta give me the tips, buddy. Gotta bring home the bacon.
One girl I dated, and she was out bartender for a while, she'd wear a shirt that said, I love, and then it had a big chicken on it. Like, I love cock. And that was the shirt she'd wear to work. Like,
you date...
I'm like, I thought we were together.
Honey, I gotta make the tips.
Gotta make the tips. I love cock.
Gotta make the donuts. Oh my God, really?
It was tough because I had feelings.
Subtle.
I had
classy
feelings. Yeah,
yeah. So I learned to make a drink. Anyway, dude. But
Pepe goes to Poland. What did you drink it?
Doesn't matter. Yeah, I drank. I got drunk.
You get drunk.
So I'm not a huge drinker.
No, and you're a wafy little thing.
And I was hungry, and I just flown in from LA, and I got to San Francisco. It was raining. You know what it is, San Francisco. It was. It's. I've said this before when I go there, but it does feel like. But this time it was very different. Like you're visiting an ex that you haven't seen.
Right.
And you just remember all the good feelings. You're like rushing back. It was like, oh my God, like that restaurant, like every corner there. It was like literally
familiar.
Like I date this. Like San Francisco's my ex. Like I was like that. I remember like dating this guy and going to that restaurant. We would spend an hour in that park. I had sex behind that building, you know,
really?
Everything. And so, and then it is beautiful. Like every turn, like everywhere you turn, it's just the architecture and the streets and the mountain. I mean,
I got a lot of fond memories of that town.
The lake, yeah. The lake, the ocean, the water. And my friends, it's amazing.
Lake
but
Merced.
then you get into it. Who goes to Lake Merced? That's so funny. No, Lake Merced. That is a lake, but I was thinking of the ocean. it was freezing. It's always cold.
It was raining.
Like coldest, 50 degrees, raining.
Coldest winter I ever spent was a summer in San Francisco.
Right. Everybody who comes there says that quote.
Yeah. It's Mark Twain.
Mark Twain.
Mark Twain.
And it was freezing. And but I did. I ran into like so. But it was amazing to be there. And I feel like it's changed a lot too. But here's the other thing: is that it's in the last 3 years since I moved, you know, my rent has tripled where I lived. It's all
in
tech.
San
so everything's built up. Even San Francisco City, where you think, because it's so small.
No parking.
None. And everything, I mean, it's just a whole new influx of people. Like the dive bar, like the dive corner shop is now like
fancy.
Like bop.com or like something like exact.com.
So
like
it's been gentrified even further.
Yes.
Wow.
Everything's .com. It's thriving. It's fun. I got drunk. I made a drink. And then they're filming me making the drink. And I'm like, you know, dropping shit and like trying to.
You drop stuff.
Yeah.
Did it get in your purse?
I dropped my. Okay. I was a little late to the show.
Tonight.
It was a very busy day and I was rushing from the office because Madison, my producer, was going out of town. Very
God
busy.
Forbid.
And you changed the time of the show, which was great.
I rescheduled.
But then I rushed. I made a smoothie.
Mm-hmm.
And I got here.
You made it?
Late. I made it.
That's impressive.
Do you know how rushed I was? I didn't even make the goddamn smoothie. I did the shaker smoothie.
Because so you just shook it on the way, like the shake
so
weight?
I shook it on the way. It was fine. Uh-huh. I'm like, I'm going to drink it when I get there. And I pull up already 7 minutes late.
Nice.
And I get out of the car and I go to my trunk to get something. And all of a sudden, there's white liquid coming down my leg.
She dumped
her
entire smoothie into her purse.
I put my entire smoothie in the purse.
Oh, so it was in the purse, but it came open.
Came open.
You forgot to close
it. I don't think it was ever really closed.
That's good. Let's just throw in an open smoothie
into
the purse.
You got me off track with my bartending, so I dropped things. So I was bartending, and yeah, I'm learning, but after a while, I was really, really good, and I had all my friends show up, and we got, you know, I met some guys. Lots of cute guys in San Francisco, too. That's another thing that changed. They were not gay, and they talked, they asked me out. No, I'm telling you, guys in San Francisco never approach women. It was all in all a great event. We raised
they
a lot of money.
They never do, but now they do.
Now they do. There's all these new guys there.
The dot-comers maybe do. Tech guys.
Fine. Bring in the tech guys. Yeah. I don't care. Talk to me. We're at a bar. It's fun. So, yes, I got a little buzzed. I had some vodka. It was like vodka, grenadine, grapefruit. I don't remember.
You don't know much about drinks.
But then, no, I knew nothing about drinks.
Yeah.
Nothing at all.
Considering how much I drink, it's shocking how little I know.
I know nothing. Yeah. Zero. So I'm like, no, I don't drink that much. I shouldn't drink. And then before I know it, I'm like, woo! Standing on the bar,
do anything
raising
on the,
money.
On camera, you might be a little ashamed of?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, because you know what? Even when I've never gotten sick from drinking. Never thrown up. Never
just
like.
Means you don't know how to party, man.
No, I can't drink. I physically can't drink enough to get very lose control. So
you've never
that's
hung
my
out
story.
With me outside the studio much, have you?
I don't know why, because yeah. I'm really fun when I'm drunk. Like,
right.
Can we please do that? No, I'm really like I'm fun.
Here's what I picture.
What?
Em, we'll go to a bar. I'll be sitting at one end of the bar, and you will say, I have to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. And then you'll be gone for like 20 minutes, and then I'll see you at the end of the bar digging through your purse and go, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I got to go, though. Something happened.
No, dude, I'm legend. I'm legend.
I am legend.
I'm
just
legend
said.
For my fun. Like, that's why people like me.
All right. We'll make that happen.
I can't believe that you think that I'm not like this when I'm not here. I'm super fun. Okay, so I have more to say about San Francisco, but I think that people, you know, whatever, I did not have sex.
What bar was it at?
It was called the Woodbury Bar.
Down in the like, Mission District?
No, it was down by the ballpark. So much happening by the ballpark. Yeah.
So much happening?
Yeah, even though it's raining. Yeah, ballpark, so much happening. No, well, the ballpark was built, like, yeah, off the freeway, the Embarcadero. It's a thriving city, and I miss it a lot.
Would you say you've
I was very glad to be back in L.A. And it was not a mistake.
Dudes in San Francisco than any other city, by far?
Yes. By, yeah. Well,
because you've been, Detroit,
I felt like I slept with
LA.
every restaurant in the city. That's how I felt. But I slept with I slept a lot of guys.
Slept with the restaurants?
Well, I was like going. I dated there, This, yeah.
I'm oh,
like,
so you did, went on a lot of dates that ended with sex behind
we
buildings.
Dated the restaurants, but I was in all of them. I dated a lot of guys in San Francisco. Most of the guys I've dated, slept with were probably in San Francisco, yes.
Okay.
And I saw a few of them. Did not see
Did
them.
You ran into a few or you
no,
called
I,
them up?
No, they came to the party.
Okay.
I have a lot of, you know I'm friends with all my exes. Yeah. Pretty right. much. Eventually.
Mm-hmm. What's the term? All my exes are driving Lexus?
Yeah.
Or all my exes are
live in
Texas? Yeah.
Yeah.
I got no exes. One wife. Bang.
I know. And you,
nice
right.
and clean.
She's awesome, too. Okay. Would you like to...
What?
Hear some sex in the news.
I love my sex in the news, Em. You know that.
This is a good one.
Okay.
Swedish health minister officially endorses loud sex.
This is the same country that also said that masturbating in public is not a problem as long as you're not making eye contact.
I'm moving to Sweden.
Remember
if
that?
Trump becomes president, yes, as long as you're, exactly.
As long as you're not making eye contact, you can beat off in public,
cool.
says
right.
Sweden.
You can jack off with whoever, yeah, exactly. Just don't look at them.
Just don't
if you're wearing sunglasses,
you can look
can't
at them,
prove it.
But you can just like stare at the boobs. Just don't
right.
look them in the eye.
Well, if you're in glasses, how would they know?
How would they know?
Wear dark glasses and masturbate to whoever the hell you want.
Blind dudes just have it. They can just whip it
oh
out
Oh my
whenever.
God, they're like,
they
I didn't
no
know where I was doing. Exactly.
Stevie Wonder lives there now.
So they're very liberal sexually, as we know, from all this these legislation last year.
Super attractive, too.
Well, here's the thing.
Beautiful.
This is beautiful, right? You think like they're beautiful, they're sitting around, yeah. like
except for Pippi. Pippi Longstocking, not so hot.
But listen to this story. So as not to disturb the neighbors, many apartment dwellers in Sweden are banned from noisy activities like vacuuming or drilling after 10 p.m.
Drilling.
One activity that is allowed, however, mm-hmm. is loud sex. And that's just the way it should be, said Health Minister Gabriel Wikström. Check this out. My neighbors are once again having noisy sex. You're my only hope. Could you ban risque exercises after 10 p.m.? A Swede tweeted Wikström on Wednesday.
What did you just say? A Swede tweeted?
Yeah, Swede tweeted the health minister. Mm-hmm. The 31-year-old health minister's response.
31.
He's 31. Sounds nice for them. I think good for their well-being and thus public health as well. Here's why. The government's endorsement of noisy sex went viral. And he said his real message didn't come across, but here's the problem. He thinks that sex gets a bad rap, and it's often related to sexual abuse, STIs, and unwanted pregnancy. But here's a fact that is shocking.
Listen to Loveline.
Want to hear a shocking fact?
Yes.
In 2013, a poll showed the average Swede has 3.8 encounters a month, which is down from 5 in 1996. That's a 24% decline, and they're concerned that they're not having enough sex in Sweden. So he's saying, if it's going to be loud, you know, I want them to do it. I'm sure there's a lot of our neighbors that annoy us, but if they've managed to get down to business, you got to be forgiving. Like, I'm surprised at this. Why aren't the Swedes having as much sex? Who does this study?
Right.
Like, I picture them being, like, blonde and happy and eating meatballs and, like, banging.
In the dark.
Yeah.
Because it gets dark really early.
But I like that they're, you know, casual about sex, but I don't know why they're not banging.
My dad
like,
was
what's the problem there? Like, I think everyone's happy. There's no stress and you bang all the time.
They actually have the highest rate of suicide, I think, on the planet.
Sweden?
Yeah.
Sweden?
Oh. I do. I've heard that. My dad was a very odd fellow.
This makes sense then. This Yeah. He
very
was.
Very strange man.
Uh-huh.
I loved him, but he was a very odd dude. He was a psychologist, PhD, and he administered all sorts. He did a lot of sexual therapy as well with his clients. And long story short, he didn't give me much advice as a kid. But one thing that he repeated over and over again was before I got married, I had to go to Stockholm, Sweden in the summertime because he banged his way across Europe when he was in the military, and Sweden was his favorite place. And he said that he'd always told me, Andy, they think of sex like chocolate. It's not like a taboo over there. It's like chocolate. I remember I had sex with a girl, and then I woke up in the morning, and her parents were downstairs. I didn't even know that we were at her parents' house, and they were making me pancakes. They were so pleased to have me in the house.
Your dad told you the story?
All these stories. Yeah, he used to talk about getting crabs from hookers in Germany. Yeah, he'd tell us all sorts of inappropriate stories.
He called you Andy.
Yeah, he did. He's like, you got to go to Stockholm.
Wait, I Sweden, can't believe that. I just have seen your dad at home.
It's the only
so that's
advice.
Helpful.
Only advice he's
but
ever given.
But one time, like, did he repeat these stories?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Was it like one time?
No. Stockholm, Sweden. Like, he told my sister had a fiance, and he was telling her fiance, before you get married, you should go to Stockholm.
Shut up. That's so messed up.
I know. He was a fucked
up man.
What
would he tell your sister? Sisters?
Yeah, once. I got two sisters.
What'd he tell them?
He told them. Like, he'd tell the fiance. His boyfriend.
Was it equal opportunity banged? Was he like, hey, go sleep.
All males. He'd get furious if my sisters had a boy over, but if I had a girl upstairs.
No, but so he didn't tell your sisters to go sleep around as
no,
well.
No, yeah, exactly. Double standard.
Sexist.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to Sweden?
Never went. Still got to get over there.
Well,
wait until I get
apparently
divorced.
Apparently they need you after you get divorced. Okay.
3.8 encounters. That's not enough. Unless it's with multiples.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know what's going on there, but probably because they're depressed. So I'm like, the whole story is very
confusing. They're depressed.
Most Republicans lie about their party on dating sites.
Really?
More than half of Republicans prefer to keep their political affiliation on the down low while courting a potential mate.
Not sexy.
No, I know. Well, I don't think it's sexy, but just 18% of Democrats say they hid their party affiliation, and 57% of Republicans replied they would or have lied about their leanings. And 82% of Democrats, compared to 43% Republicans, said they would never dream of keeping their political viewpoints / while on date. Now, I always said that I would not, like, that would be, like, I always try to think of my deal breakers if I saw something in a profile.
Right.
And I'm not a big, you know me, like, I'm open, like, I like most people, like, I'll give them a chance. But Republican, I would, especially now, like, I'm voting for Trump, like, I can't have that conversation over dinner. So now the thing's a lot. No, I don't know. I just like if someone's like trying to talk to me about how much he likes Donald Trump.
Country's very divided. Yes.
But I think that men now it's interesting because you know the number one thing they lie about besides this. No, not on their profile.
Wait.
Height. So they're lying about their height and they're lying about their party. So it's just horrible. Don't go online.
I've never asked you this question. What's Emily's biggest turn off?
On a profile,
or like, what's the difference? Profile.
Well, because it's funny. I've often thought about it. Like, if I saw something, what would it have to be? And I often said, like, if he was really like right wing, like that would.
That's your biggest.
Honestly, like,
because you are kind of a political person. You don't bring it into the show, and you shown it. It's smart because you talk about
anymore.
Sex.
All right.
Sex is.
I know. I almost feel bad saying
right?
like I'm going to lose a lot of listeners right now. And here's the thing: I would be best friends with you. I just don't want to date you. So if you're Republican and you're a listener,
yeah.
Like, I love you. And here's the thing. If we were at a party and, like, George Bush was there and, like, Al Gore, like,
you would bang Bush.
No, I'd rather sit next to George Bush because I think he's probably a really good time.
Right.
You know, Al Gore, I love Al Gore. He's a little boring, whatever. He's not so good. So I'm saying, like, George Bush is, like, well, he might not have been the brightest person. Like, you know, he's probably a good time. Nice guy.
Says nothing, though.
No, right. But what I'm saying
think
is
about
your political
time.
Beliefs. What I'm saying is I have nothing against any of my listeners. I'm saying about sitting in a room, sharing a room with George Bush and talking politics and having to bang him.
Yeah.
That wouldn't turn me on.
Yeah.
But having friends who are Republicans or listeners or you or acquaintances,
right.
That's fine. But for a relationship, that might be hard.
It might be hard for you.
But, you know, maybe
people forget that M comes from politics. I mean, she made a documentary about politics.
I did. I know. It's
that
weird. It's so different. But here's the other deal breaker. Like, I'm trying to think people.
Bad breath.
But he's not going to tell you. Okay, so in person?
Yeah.
Okay, so forget the dating profile because I think that would be like, maybe if he doesn't have a job.
The profile.
Well, I'm trying to think what I would see in the profile that would turn me off.
Right. Jobless would be bad. Lives with mom,
but
bad.
But I wouldn't say that. So the point is, I always thought that was something, but now I'm like, okay, so in real life, I'm on a date.
Right.
And he...
You don't know. He wears what? Ed Hardy
a lot
shirt.
Of cologne.
A lot of cologne. You would not have been happy a couple nights ago when we had Dr. Ray, 90210, in here in Loveline Studios. Yeah.
Bad.
He just wore a lot of, he's a Brazilian man and he wears a lot
he
of cologne.
Know. Europeans, you can let a lot slide.
Really?
Yeah.
What about B.O.? That'd be a big turnoff?
That'd be a turnoff, yeah. I would say like, you know, being cheap, not tipping the waitress, not tipping well.
You got
being
those friends?
Being rude to the waitress,
that
being
would be
rude
really
to
bad.
Hating his mom. If he's like, God, I haven't talked to my mom, she's such a bitch.
Well, what if she was a bitch? Maybe
I don't know. Just if you hate any... Okay, I understand, like...
Oh, if you hate anyone?
You hate women. No, just, like, the whole, like, you know, bad... like. And here's the thing. You can hate your parents. You could have something wrong with them, but if you have, like, a good... Yeah, like, she abused me, but don't get into that the first day anyway. But if you just have a general, like, you can tell when a guy's like kind of a misogynist and doesn't respect men or women.
Okay.
Yeah, the way he treats the waiter.
Right.
The waitresses.
That's a big one.
Yeah,
that's a big one.
Huge. So,
because, yeah, you know, like, I hate everything and I hate everyone. You know that, right? You see my anger all the time. But I would never, ever treat a waiter or a waitress
never.
Bad. So it's a totally different thing.
Never.
That you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other thing is, see, I would say I'm so open that I give people the benefit of the doubt because I know that we're not, you know, first date. So people say, well, if he doesn't ask any questions about me. Well, a lot of times guys are nervous and they talk to you. I'd say, like, if you like him enough, even if you think something's like a deal breaker, I think sometimes people are too harsh with their deal breakers.
Yeah.
And you got to give someone the benefit of the doubt. So that's my lesson to everyone, that think about what really, because I think people make all these rules like, oh, he didn't graduate from college or he, you know, all these different things, you know, he doesn't make enough money or, but I think that you just, you don't know everyone's situation right away. And I think people cut themselves off from people that could actually be a really good match.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a huge fan of deal breakers.
Let me tell you this. You're
alcoholic. I even dated alcoholics for years, so I can't even say that. What?
Well, they're fun. You saying no to the Republican Party over there, that's a pretty large chunk of the population. And let me tell you this. What about this? You're dating a Republican. It'll help you see the world a little more openly.
Well, here's
you'll
the thing.
Be able to hear their ideals. Not that you're going to change, but you'll know where they're coming from. You know what I mean?
I understand. And here's the thing. I'm not even saying that, like, I haven't dated Republicans.
Like, sure you have.
Yeah. So it's not even that I'm saying that would even be, you know. But no. I don't want you to lie if you lie about it, though.
I don't think you have a deal
if
breaker.
If you called yourself a Democrat and you were a Republican, that'd be bad. But if you didn't say anything.
Oh, that
and
would
I
be
really
bad.
Liked you. We'd get great chemistry, but we didn't talk about politics.
Okay.
I don't know. It hasn't come up. It hasn't in years.
The wife and
I
have very, very different politics, anymore. And I just don't talk about them.
See?
Yeah, we just make sure to steer clear of them.
Look at James Carville and Mary Matlin. Remember them?
Nope. No idea what you're talking about.
They both worked for Bill. No. He was Bill Clinton's advisor. James Carville.
Oh, and the other one was
Mary Matlin was Bush's top advisor.
Look at that.
Top. And they got married.
That's sketchy because that tells me that they were in cahoots and they were like selling
secrets.
No,
they really weren't. But they're like, hey, so that's what I'm saying. I'm open. You don't know who I'm going to end up with.
It's true.
Why don't we give a shout out to the people who help keep this show free so you can listen to it and also who make amazing toys. By now, y'all know me pretty well. You know I love new experiences, but I have my favorite things that I always come back to because I know I can trust them. I can't think of a better example than the magic wand. If you've been listening, you might remember that I actually had a hole drilled in my nightstand, so my magic wand was always plugged in and ready right when I needed it. That's a pretty big commitment. And I thought it was pretty ingenious. But anyway, before you go destroying your furniture, consider this. The trusted magic wand is now available in a rechargeable version, delivering all that power of the original plus the mobility of a completely cordless design. The Magic Wand Rechargeable also features 4 intensity levels and 4 great vibration patterns. For more than 30 years, a trusted magic wand from Vibratex has been just about everyone's go-to massager, from its perfect size to the high-quality construction and materials. It's no wonder why the Magic Wand is considered the Cadillac of all vibrators. If you don't own one yet, don't live without the magic wand another day. And if you do own one, you need to try the rechargeable. Go to sexwithemily.com and click on the magic wand banner to order yours. Okay, we have a new segment, Anderson.
Oh, we do?
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to tell you about it because we're introducing it.
Okay.
Emily, please tell my partner.
Oh.
Yep. Okay, so sometimes it's really hard for people to approach their partner about something they want in the bedroom. We hear this all the time.
Uh-huh.
People email me, like, what do I do about this? Like, you want to, you know, you try to bring it up, you don't know how to do it, and you guys are having the same conversation in your relationship back and forth and back and forth. So I'm going to do it for you.
It's almost like a little sex therapy on
exactly.
the show.
Exactly. A little free. I'm going to call up.
Oh, you're going to call them?
Yep. I'm going to deliver the advice. So, for example, I asked on Twitter, what do you wish you could tell your partner about your sex life but don't know how? And, like, people were like, oh, I want my boyfriend to, like, shave his pubes, or, like, I want my girlfriend to have a threesome.
You're like the mediator.
Or, what?
You're like the mediator.
I'm the mediator. You know, this guy's like, I want my girlfriend to talk dirty to me. And, like, if you're shy and you don't want to bring it up, I'm going to call them and walk them through it.
Uh-huh.
But I'm totally professional. I'm going to do it in a really nice way.
Yes.
And I won't do breakups. But I'm thinking, like, I would do a proposal.
Right.
Papa.
How would you propose?
I would do a proposal. Well, if someone was like, will you propose? I might do that. But I would not. I'm not doing breakups. I'm not getting that. I'm not doing anything really super dirty, like super harsh.
Harsh
like
a, or like a rude. Yeah, you want to only do positive stuff.
No, I'm going to help someone, like free
Add
advice.
To the relationship,
in a
not
really
detract.
Good way. Exactly. So if you've got something you want to bring up to your partner and you don't know how, email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.
Have you thought about the idea of doing it like singing Telegram style, where you show up like at their work or something?
That would be amazing.
And you do a little dance.
I'm really good at writing jingles.
That would be great.
Do you know that's one of my skills?
I did not have any clue about
that. I could wear the elf costume that I have. I have an elf costume.
I'm sure you do.
It was my first job in San Francisco. I moved there for Christmas. I had no money. I was like catering at night.
You would make a great
elf.
They're
like, I don't remember. It was like some recruitment firm. They called me like, we have the perfect job for you. Not a recruitment. No, it was a temp agency.
Yeah.
They're like, will you be an elf?
We have the perfect job for you.
Will you be an elf?
Elf.
At Toys for Tots. Uh-huh. And I said, yes, I will.
So
and
you didn't I was use an elf. You didn't use your dildo as a little...
No, I was 22 and I was a little elf. Okay. And I got paid like $150. It was the best day ever. Made kids happy, gave them presents.
And you still have the costume.
I don't.
No.
I don't. No, but
You lied to me. You know, 90 seconds ago, you lied.
I know. I'm saying I would be an elf when I delivered the singing telegrams.
You said you had a costume while you were looking
at
me.
I had an elf costume. Okay. They didn't let me keep it. It was part of the job. Okay, I've got some emails.
Okay, let's do
it. Okay, so thank you, everyone. I love when you email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. And I love also when you include your name and where you're listening from and how you listen in the email, and your age. Age is helpful.
Age
context.
Is helpful. Yeah.
For example, in this first one, very useful. Emily, my name is James. I'm 28 years old, male from South Dakota, and I just started listening to your iTunes podcast. I'm currently separated from my wife of 5.5 years, who lives in Texas with our two kids. We've been separated since March of 2015 and are in the beginning stages of the divorce. We're completely civil with each other. We just grew apart to the point where we don't love each other as a married couple anymore. My question is, once the divorce is finalized, how do I put myself back in the dating scene? Thank you. You're awesome, Emily. So this is important because when I was first, I was like, oh, wait, he's 28. So, you know, if he was 45, it's a little different. If you've been married for 20 years, you've been married for 5. But it's still, so the age is helpful. That's all
right.
I'm saying.
Absolutely.
First of all, don't date until you're ready. It sounds like he is ready, James, because he, you know, they've been separated for over a year.
And they grew apart. It sounds like it was fairly organic. It wasn't like somebody else got caught doing something.
Right. And sometimes people jump in, though, like overall, like I was thinking, you know, too quickly. Because I think they should. And they just want to get over it. But it sounds like, you know, he's had some time to heal.
But the kids.
But he's got kids, too. What do you mean?
It's going to complicate things.
Well, exactly. Having kids complicates things. That is true. But I think that you'll find that, yeah, for a lot of people, that could be complicated.
Yeah.
But make sure, James, that you just have figured out, like, why it ended. What your part in it was. Because a lot of people have blame or anger. They don't heal from the relationship. And then, like, figure out, you know, and right now, just go out and start dating again. And figure out, you know, what kind of people you like. It's an important time to, like, date casual. And, you know, date around. You don't feel pressure to commit to anyone right away. And I was going to say that people aren't judging you. Here's another thing I found from a lot of divorced friends, that they really thought that people were going to judge them because they were divorced, like they were failures. And I think that we all know that 50% of marriages end in divorce. And I think a lot of people look at it as, you know, shows that you can commit. So I think that don't let that intimidate you. I think a lot of people worry that that's going to be a judgment. Now, the kids thing, that could be interesting for people who you might find someone who's divorced with kids or someone who wants more. If you want more kids, that's great.
Right.
They might think of it as a bonus, but I wouldn't worry about all that stuff. But what I would say is be open because you've been in a relationship for a long time. And just look at it like you're, you know, trying to figure out, you know, again, like you married someone young and figure out what you like and what you don't like in a potential partner. Honestly, once you have your confidence and you figured out, you know, why you got divorced, date online. Everyone's dating online these days. But I would also say the real world. This is a great time for you to reconnect, find your friends who are single, and just start, you know, going out. Say yes to every invitation you get. You know those Facebook invites? Do you read those?
I don't go on Facebook.
Okay, but if you did.
Yes, I'm familiar with the concept.
So, I mean, people are like, oh, I can't do it. But now you can. And you never know who you're going to meet when you're going out. Tell all your friends that you're single. Let them know that you're ready to date again. Because friends, great way to fix you up. They might not know in the moment, but they'll be thinking about you and they'll be, you know, if they meet someone and they'll invite you places. But just remember to be yourself and be honest. You don't have to get into your entire relationship. Obviously, you can say that you're divorced and I think it's great to keep it positive. It sounds like you already are in a positive place. And the things that might have changed in, let's see, 6 years is texting. Seven years ago, wanted a guy to call me. Mm-hmm. I think texting's okay now. I'm trying to think of what he needs to know.
Would this be bad if he lied and said that he was a widower? Because
yes.
Chicks like that. They'll feel sorry
chicks
for him and
totally
throw.
Chicks dig you for that. No, he can't lie. Say, he's got the kids.
What if he's like, she's dead to me, but like he whispers to me. You know what I mean? Does it go without saying that like you don't introduce your kids to potential?
So
does it
yes.
go without saying?
Well, Yes, if you're my mother, she did not get that message, or my father, because they introduced me to my dad. Was like, oh, well, I had a date with her last night. She's going to come out with us on Sunday. Like my dad.
So that's
and my
like
mom,
the norm to you.
My mom got married 6 months after she divorced my
wow.
dad. So my parents messed up. If you are single, I mean, and you're dating again, and you have kids, wait as long as possible until you know that it's a relationship with someone that you really love and that you're going to be with until right. you drag the kids in and they become connected and then they never see that person again, even though you told them to love them like a parent, and then they love them like a parent and they were gone.
And they're gone. Yeah.
I have no issues with that. No,
that must be brutal.
No, it was fine though because they did suck. My parents made really bad choices.
So you think you're glad to see these people leave?
Yes. I was like, thank God you divorced the asshole mom. But my mom's, my stepdad, she's been with for 30 years. She had a little blip in the middle that was a bad stepdad.
Oh, so she's been married 3 times?
Yeah. Wow. My dad too.
Your dad married 3 times too?
Yeah. And then he died after he married 20 years ago. The third wife he was with for a year.
Wow.
Just second wife, 5 years. That's my story. But yeah. Don't introduce him to the kids yet until you're sure.
Unless you got a daughter who you're really hoping becomes like a sex and
relationship
therapist
expert.
Online and
with
her own
program. I started the show. Do you know why I started it? Because I have always been like, you know, I didn't have the best role models. I didn't have great relationships in my home. I'd like to find out the secrets and how people, you know, stay happy and stay in a relationship
curious.
For a long time. Very curious.
Yeah.
And now I have all the answers. So. Totally fine.
There should also be like a re-bachelor party, like so that this guy could go out there and have a big like coming out party. Like, hey,
totally.
I'm available again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's 20. I don't think he's gonna have a hard time.
How old is he?
28.
Yeah,
dude, that's
you should
why
have been married
different.
Again with. What are you doing?
I know.
28 married.
Well, exactly.
Kids.
He's got the kids,
Come
and
on.
I would just say, and again, don't beat yourself up. It's gonna feel awkward at first, perhaps. So go on a few starter dates, just like you should take every job interview. Ask some women out for coffee, and another thing, just start practice talking to women wherever you go, and guys, just talk. It's a muscle.
You'll meet him everywhere. The gym.
I'm so not worried about him at all.
Supermarket. And
James,
remember,
I'm not worried
nothing's
about you.
Working. You can say, my wife is dead to me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Women love death. They love comforting. Okay. True. Emily, I was listening to you on Loveline tonight.
What?
This is how I found out about you. And I already love that you. I already love you and I'm a fan. So tonight I heard you speaking about a girl about holding a vibrator on a guy's penis while giving oral. Unfortunately, I didn't catch exactly what you were saying. I was probably saying it really fast.
Yeah.
How would you do this? Where and how would you hold it? And is there a certain kind of vibrator that's better to use? Thank you so much. Looking forward to hearing back, Amanda. This is a great question.
I don't remember hearing you say this, and I was obviously sitting right there.
Yeah, exactly. Anderson's on Loveline as well. So, it's a great point because I think this is a little known secret. And you know, it's funny because I feel like I talk about this all the time on my show. But maybe on Loveline, not enough clearly do I mention the fact that vibrators don't just feel good on women. They feel amazing on men.
Right.
Men love a little vibrator, little vibration on their balls, on their shaft, their taint.
Jesus Christ.
They don't know it though. A lot of guys don't know it. A lot of women don't try it. And I'm telling you, okay. And I'm not going to sit here and say that every single man on the planet is going to want a vibrator on his testicles.
I can imagine
I'm not
some
that.
Super homophobic dudes being like, get that dick away from me.
Okay, but she wants to know what kind to use. No, you're not using your big, you know, dildo-shaped vibrator. You're using a tiny bullet vibe,
right.
Like a pocket rocket.
A little egg.
Like an egg, like the Mimi or the WeVibe Touch or the WeVibe Tango is this perfect, the most perfectly built bullet on the planet. And I would say that. It's very powerful, submergible in water. That's the point, but you don't have to take a shower with them. But here's the thing. You start by, you know, playing with it. You can just use it on yourself. Let them know you have a vibrator. You don't want to just whip it out if you never had vibrator play. But maybe, you know, you've already had that conversation, let's say, or you say, hey, look what I've got. And you show them how you use it, rub it on yourself. And then you take it. And again, this not on the high vibe, not on the highest vibration level, which you might use when you're masturbating. But you want to start on the lowest level because you don't want to freak him out. Or his balls.
What is that?
Rub on his shaft, his balls, like on the low setting. And some guys are sensitive. So again, really light touch. Like you're not going like you would, you know, on yourself. So you can even do it over his underwear. Yeah, you kind of, sometimes when you're like getting in there, you're like,
right.
But no, I like light touches too. But again, it's like a tease over his underwear first to start. Then you can trace it all over his body. You can actually use it during a blowjob. You can put it against your mouth or under your chin. And he feels it and it turns your entire mouth into a vibrator. So I would say a great way is, again, like lightly, his balls, his shaft. Like, I don't think he's going to stop you.
Just suggest that she, like, take them both down? Like,
what?
She puts it, like, right next to it and then, like, takes it both of them in her mouth? Is that what you suggested?
No. I was saying she could be giving him a blowjob.
Uh-huh.
And the penis, whilst the penis.
Whilst, dude, you're British now.
Penis is in her mouth.
Yes.
She takes the vibrator.
Oh, on the outside.
And puts it in her cheek.
Okay.
Or under her chin.
Uh-huh.
And then her mouth turns into a vibrator.
Right. And her teeth start chattering.
Exactly.
It's like it's freezing,
but
it's not.
Bite his penis.
Don't do that.
So that feels good.
Right.
Have you never had a vibrator on your penis?
I don't talk about such things, Em.
I think you haven't. I think I gave you one. I gave you a vibrator.
I'm a Republican man who keeps his, my sexual...
Listen, guys. I'm not saying whip it out. I'm saying that if your guy's open, he might like it. If he doesn't, then guess what? Just give him a blowjob without the vibrator and he's going to be happy. End of story.
Trump.
I bet Trump would like a ball. I think he needs one.
There's a really good documentary called You Got Trumped, and it's all about what a dick Trump is.
Really? Did it just come out?
A few years ago.
Oh.
Now. And it's all about him trying to like take over the Scottish land that like people have been living on for years, and he wants to turn it into the best golf course in the world, you know? And he's saying, we need to get this scum out of here. It's really shows you the true side of Trump.
I think everybody should watch a documentary. Do you talk about it on your show?
No, I haven't. Long before he was running for president.
I think you should talk about it right now in Cinematics.
Did you see
Can you do a throwback? Even though Cinematics, Anderson's amazing podcast.
I'll see if it's streaming.
It's
maybe
all
I will.
About upcoming shows and I also upcoming
do,
releases.
I but, also do top my best streaming pick of the week. A great movie that's streaming. Yeah. That you can watch right now on Netflix or Amazon
What'd
Prime.
What'd you pick this week? I'm going to watch movies.
This week I picked one called The Barkley Marathons, which was phenomenal. It's a documentary all about this crazy marathon that this crazy old coot put together down in Tennessee, and it's 100 miles in 60 hours.
Wow.
You got to run 100 miles, 60 hours, and not just running, it's through like the Tennessee backwoods. It's amazing.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
It's this phenomenal documentary called The Barkley Marathons.
Okay, got it. And you should talk about the Trump one too, because it would be a good political message.
There's a Trump, like a 40-minute movie on Netflix as well. I've not seen it yet, but Johnny Depp plays Trump or something. It's supposed to be very funny. It was like a parody of that book that he wrote, The Art of Business or whatever. I'm speaking out of turn because I've not seen it.
Okay. Well, me
You're
either.
Talking about Trump there. You getting cold there?
Donald Trump. Yeah, I just got cold.
Settle down.
Can you tell? I spilled a smoothie on it. Wet. Yeah. I've got wet all over me.
Were you inside your purse when it spilled?
No, it was started dripping down my leg out of my purse.
Out of your purse.
This is why I came in here and
like
I dumped it on the ground.
It. Like you were straining it.
I dumped it,
with
it on
purse.
The ground when I walked in. Okay.
We have time for one more email.
Hi, Emily. I'm going. My name is Jamie. My name is Jamie. I'm from Minnesota and I'm 25. I've recently found you and love what I'm learning. What I'd like to ask is, when I drink, I'm a very charismatic person. Fun, very outgoing towards everyone. Yet sober me is very shy, reserved and quiet at first.
That's so weird.
All my friends say I'm a very funny person and they love to get together with me. My question is, how should I approach a woman? Should it be timid me or slightly drunk me who is all fun?
Yikes. Jamie.
Sign Jamie. What do you think?
You can't do it with a liquid courage unless you're looking for like a little one night fun.
I know. He cannot rely on the liquid courage as a crutch.
And you probably think you're extra smooth and cool, but I bet you, especially if she's not drinking, you're going to come off like a sloppy drunk.
Right. I'm sure all your alcoholic friends think that you're really funny too.
Here's what I've learned about drunks. The ones that think that they're really fun and life of the party when they're drunk. No, those are the ones that are obnoxious and you can't wait for them to leave.
Exactly. Except for I really am fun when I'm drunk, but I know what you're saying. I think that that's where the trouble starts, though. For a lot of people who get into addiction because it's social anxiety and they use that to quell that.
Liquid
and they rely
courage.
On drugs and alcohol and all this stuff and they become too dependent. So what you got to do, Jamie, is during the daytime,
drink
when you're sober.
Day.
No,
Start
when you're sober, practice talking to women. Like I just said, it's like the reason why you're so afraid of approaching women, a lot of people, and talking and you think you need to drink is because you're not used to it. You know, you don't have that experience, like learning how to talk to children. Until I had a niece, I didn't know how to talk to kids.
Right.
And then I love her and I got her and I understand. Now I can talk to anyone. Like, it's practice. If you have always made women this uncomfortable thing, you won't get it. But when you're out, doesn't have to be anyone you want to bang or, you know, sleep with, just anybody. Strike up a conversation.
And there's tricks that I've used, Em, as a man.
Go. Oh,
being
my God.
Nervous. I've pretended that they're dudes. Right? Like, I just imagine that they're a very effeminate guy.
Like, do you imagine their penis?
No, not really. Oh, okay. I just imagine, like, this is just it's a dude who has long hair and kind of has feminine features. And, like, would I still like what they're saying if they're a dude? Would I still want to hang out with them? Or, and I don't know if this has come up on this show here before, but, like, I'll pretend that it's, like, my sister's friend. I'll do that sometimes.
You literally, like, so you're like, hot girl. Like,
and I'm like, no, but she's my sister's friend. So it's like, you know, like, we have something in common. Or it's like my really good friend's girlfriend. I'll try and psych myself out so I believe that I'm talking to like my really good friend's girlfriend.
You can do that. That's if.
Yeah, I can trick myself. I remember I told you I tricked myself that the person's dead so that I wouldn't.
Well, I was just gonna say to you, do pretend that they're dead.
But I think guys can psych themselves out and kind of set themselves up to think that
way. I think that is great. I mean, because I always tell guys, like, channel, like, think of how you are, like, when you're with your friends. You'd be that guy.
Yeah.
But to think, actually picture that this is your best guy friend or...
Yeah, it's his girlfriend. So I want to be putting moves on. Because a lot of the time, the awkwardness that comes from guys is, I don't know, I can't speak for all guys, but for myself, is, like, the idea that they know that I want to bang them... And everything I'm saying is just trying to get into their pants. It makes me feel like such a dirty person.
You're already thinking, right. And see,
and it just feels
so funny
because like
as a woman, yeah. I mean, if you just start talking to her like in the middle of the day on the bus or whatever.
Why would you come up and just start talking to me, you know, out in public? It's because you want to get my pants. And everyone knows that, including me and you. That makes it feel very uncomfortable and dirty.
But there's ways just to casually, if you're just like hanging out in a crowded place, you know, you're waiting in line, you're like, you know, I always say like, if you're waiting in line and you're just like looking around, you're like,
you always pick up the line, yeah.
Well, where else are people in crowds?
See, that's why I dated bartenders, because I would sit there and I'd have something to talk to them about. And I actually wanted something besides a vagina. They didn't know that at the time. They thought I just wanted a drink, but I actually wanted more than the drink, you know what I mean?
Right, so this way you don't like bartender. And then would you get the bar?
I would end up like, you know, dating the bartender, but, you know, I build a rapport, but there was already a transaction kind of in between us, so there was a point to talking to them.
Right, but girls want to get laid too. They want to meet guys.
Exactly.
So you shouldn't be thinking that. I never thought when a guy was talking to me, he's just talking to me because he wants to sleep with me.
Like, no girl ever thinks that, but that's the way guys think. And especially when I was younger, I totally thought that. And what you guys are really thinking is, yeah, I'm hot, and he knows it, and this makes me feel good about myself.
Really good. Yeah, it feels really
good.
In fact, when guys don't hit on you, you're like, why is no one hitting on me?
Yeah.
Right. As a woman.
But as a guy, you're really worried that you're going to get immediately rejected.
If we're all out at a party or somewhere and we're single, like, we want to talk to people.
Right.
We do.
It doesn't mean you're going to go home with them, but you do want to talk to them.
Exactly.
At least. You know, you never know.
Right. And you're going to get better at it. And I love what you just said, Anderson. That was great advice. And Jamie, drunk you is not attractive to women. So, you know.
Don't do that.
Unless you're attracted to drunk, sloppy women.
It's a slippery slope because if you're successful.
Slippery slope. I think we just saved him.
If you're successful with that, you're going to rely even heavier on the drinks. And the next thing you know, you're drinking every night.
Exactly. And I have a lot of friends who have watched get sober. And when they're sober, like that first year or two after dating, they're like, I can't talk to anyone. You don't want to do that. So we saved him. Mm-hmm. Saving lives here, Anderson. Thank you so much. And so Cinematics.
And the Film Vault.
And
The After Disaster.
The After Disaster. Just plug those right into your phone now because you're already listening to your pod.
Of Anderson. I get that. It's a lot of Anderson.
But you can never have too much Anderson.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank
and
you.
You can never.
Jamie, real quick. We're assuming it's a dude. Could have been a girl. Never once said he was a dude. It could be a lesbian woman named Jamie.
No.
You never know. Can't be sure.
Wait.
I just like to, you know, hit every possibility.
You know, you're right.
All the information that we gave you is the
same. He said
he
wants to approach a woman, but you're right.
Could be a lesbo.
It's not.
Is that disrespectful to say lesbo? Should I not have said lesbo?
Lesbian.
Sorry. Lesbian, okay.
Okay, so, thank you.
Thank you
so much. And thanks,
me.
Everyone, for listening. I love you, and I love hearing from you, and everything's awesome. Oh, follow me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at Sex with Emily and on Snapchat. It's all a good time. Thanks for listening. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com. Are you looking for a way to mix up your masturbation routine? Well, let me tell you about the number one sex toy for men. And really, it's the only one you want. The Fleshlight. It's a masturbation sleeve that you use solo or with a partner that simulates the sensations of real sex and was engineered to look and feel like the real deal. Between the Fleshlight stamina training unit, which helps you practice lasting longer during sex, the sleek and discreet Fleet Fleshlight Go, which is more compact, there's a Fleshlight for every man's needs. There are even ones that are modeled after your favorite porn star. Now there's a new addition to the Fleshlight family, the Quick Shot open-ended male masturbator. It's like the size of your hand. It's like amazing for self-pleasure or for hand jobs, you know what I'm saying? Has patented super skin material, and it's NASA invented this material, for God's sake. And you've got your hand, I've got a dildo. We should all, you know, men should have their little toy as well. Go to sexwithemily.com, click on the Fleshlight banner, use code Emily to get a free bottle of their award-winning Flesh Lube. Let me tell you about Promescent. Did you know 1 in 3 men suffers from premature ejaculation? Well, now you don't have to. Promescent is a quickly absorbing delay spray that allows you to have the sex you want. You don't have to think about baseball or great Aunt Margaret with a furry mustache, none of that. You can focus on your partner's hot body now that you have the time so they can actually have an orgasm. And you can too, you know, when you want to. Because Promescent closes the arousal gap between men and women. You might get there faster than you would like to. So Promescent helps you last twice as long, and thousands of urologists are recommending Promescent. Go to promescent.com and check it out. That's promescent.com. Thanks for listening.